welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, nature, sustainability, interconnectedness, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
What is better than homemade gifts? Especially when you can eat them, too. You save money, it's as personal as it gets, and maybe the person you gift will even share with you. Holiday gifts from the kitchen, love you can taste. Our topic in this week's episode of An Organic Conversation.
Yeah, I'm really excited about today. This is such a fun way to approach the holiday season. And Casey Coletti, who's been a guest on our show a couple of times, we recently had her on for the pie show.
Yum.
Yes, baking a slice of joy. Casey's like the queen of giving edible gifts during the holidays. She makes something different every year, gives it to all of her friends and family. Mm. And for her birthday,
so good.
I picked up a book by today's guest and author that is focused on this very topic so that Casey could have some more creative ideas and we
Don't
would all continue to benefit.
Yes.
I'm not giving it away.
And, you know, this weekend I got home from a long trip and a friend of ours came up and she brought homemade tomato sauce and homemade pesto and it sat on the counter and I didn't even think much of about it within my fog of just being home. And then we had dinner. And then I got to taste all the amazing, the roasted tomato flavor and the pesto that she did with pecans instead of pine nuts.
Really?
And then I was sitting there eating it and I was thinking, this is really a true gift. Nothing even needed to be said. It was just that gift of the ingredients she took time to prepare and the love that she put into it. And it was just so amazing just in that moment of each bite that I was having. It's great.
And yeah, to piggyback on that, you know, when we create personal things for somebody, be it a song or, you know, a poem, a letter that we can write or a sweater some of us might be able to knit. I tried that a few times. It always turned into a mini baby shawl for my bear when I was younger.
There you go. There you go.
I always lost one of those.
That's one lucky bear.
Yeah, I know, with 20 shawls. Or, you know, nursery starts from your garden. Like the world, when you really stop for a second and think about what can I create, what can I make out of my hands, is extremely vast. And when it comes to food, as we will learn, you don't have to be, you know, a top chef in order to create something loving and wonderful and personal. And we'll talk about the, you know, ingredients and the packaging. And yeah, I'm very excited about our guest as well. Today's show is Holiday Gifts from the Kitchen, Love You Can Taste, here on An Organic Conversation.
But first, here's the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. Hybrid taxis take responsibility for climate progress. The city of San Francisco, a pioneer in green living, has dramatically reduced carbon emissions with its Green Taxi Initiative. Other initiatives, such as solar panels and high-efficiency lighting, have managed to decrease greenhouse gas emissions by 40,000 tons, but hybrid taxis, now making up 85% of the fleet in San Francisco, have cut more than 50,000 tons of carbon dioxide. We've doubled the size of the fleet and cut emissions in half, says Paul Gillespie, founder of lowcarbontaxis.org. Way to go, San Francisco. New York fracking decision delayed into 2013. The Department of Environmental Conservation has postponed a decision on new regulations in light of recent expert evaluations on the health impact of high-volume hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. Fracking stimulates the production of wells by inserting pressurized chemical fluids into deep rock layers to access rich gas and petroleum reserves. While spokespersons for the natural gas industry feel existing reviews sufficiently show the safety of the practice, environmental and health groups list digestive and respiratory issues, skin rashes, and liver and kidney damage as some of the ill health effects from fracking pollution. Patagonia's new wetsuits are to be made from plants. One of the U.S.'s leading brands for sustainably made outdoor apparel, Patagonia, is introducing a wetsuit engineered from plant-based material. in a partnership with ULEX Corporation, a company specializing in renewable agricultural-based biomaterials, the duo has created a neoprene wetsuit alternative. Neoprene is a synthetic rubber traditionally used to make wetsuits, whereas the new material is, quote, a renewable non-food crop that requires very little water, is grown domestically in the U.S., uses no pesticides, and in comparison to traditional neoprene, has a very clean manufacturing process. Sustainable surfers can pick up their eco-friendly suits from Patagonia beginning this spring. And Kaiser Permanente advises against consumption of genetically modified foods. In a surprising and hugely important turn of events for the non-GMO food movement, Kaiser Permanente, the largest healthcare organization in the country, has publicly recommended against eating genetically modified foods. In a recent newsletter, Kaiser has stated that too little research has been done to show the impact of GMOs on human health, and independent studies have implicated the consumption of GMOs in organ damage and infertility in rats. Kaiser is encouraging its 8.9 million members to choose organic and non-GMO Project Verified foods for preventative care and, of course, to live long and thrive. And those are your green headlines. Back to you, Helga.
Thank you, Jen. That's Jen Lloyd, for that weekly update of what's going on in the world of green living and sustainability. Wow, San Francisco cutting more greenhouse emissions than any other initiative simply by changing the fleet of cabs. And Sita, you're in New York.
Yeah, actually, I moved from New York about 5 years ago, and that's like the cab capital of the country,
you
right?
You look down from the houses, and all you see is yellow roofs.
Yellow, yeah, everything, yeah. And when I moved here, first of all, the cabs aren't yellow, necessarily, all of them, and they're hybrids. And it was just such a dramatic difference from New York, and I was really... It was exactly what I expected, honestly. Getting to San Francisco, which has this image across the country of being the place that is so environmentally focused and so sustainable that their cabs are hybrids, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm in the right place. I knew that this is what it was going to be like here. But what's so encouraging to me is that, you know, there's that adage that if California does it, so goes the rest of the country. And so I really am looking forward to the fact that this trend of hybrid cabs is going to travel across the coast to the other coast in the next decade.
Yeah. And, you know, in the city, a cab is a way of life. My daughter lived here. You don't own a car, or you rarely own a car because the parking and everything involved in it. So everybody takes cabs everywhere they go, or a bus, right? And so the impact of having a hybrid fleet, as we've already seen the results just from what Helga was talking about when he started this little conversation, the impact of every day using a cab that's a hybrid is just so profound that I can't wait to travel around the country and see all the cities that have adopted this
embrace
this, sure.
Yeah, and many people might not see cabs as public transportation, but, you know, the very notion of public transportation and the very notion of cabs is to be mobile, to drive 24/7, right? That's when they make the most sense. And I remember being involved in a Mercedes-Benz advertisement campaign 25 years back in Germany. We were hoping that we would find an engine, a Mercedes-Benz engine that had 1 million kilometers on it. And we had hundreds and hundreds, a couple thousand submissions from cab drivers that were driving Mercedes diesel engine in that case. Back then, you know, not a good environmental choice, but they have gone so much better, of course, with blue tech. We actually ended up with a car that had 5 million kilometers on it, which is over 3 million miles on the same engine. So if you put it in perspective of what cabs actually accumulate in a lifespan, it's flabbergasting. So yes, go San Francisco, and hopefully many cities will follow. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And today we're bringing you an hour chock full with tips and suggestions to make this holiday gifting as sweet and personal as it possibly could be. Holiday gifts from the kitchen. Love you can taste this week here on An Organic Conversation. That and more when we come back. Stay tuned.
King, crown you with my heart, your love.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark O'Kahey.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Our topic today is holiday gifts from the kitchen. Love you can taste. This is the time. If you listen to this episode and start planning now, you will have an amazing opportunity this year to make gifts for your family and friends that are as loving and as personal as it gets. Don't cost you a fortune and will bring joy for weeks to come. Or in Mark's case, if you eat it all in one sitting, maybe for one sitting, without having them end up in the back of your closet or being returned to you, guaranteed. Holiday gifts from the kitchen, love you can taste, our topic on today's show, from savory to sweet, from easy to more elaborate. We want to turn you on to the world of homemade food gifts, and we promise you, you don't even have to cook or be a cook. With us now is Sally Vargas, the edible gift diva, a contributing editor for the Boston Globe, a blogger on her food blog, Cooking Lessons, and also the author of her well-known book, Food for Friends. Sally, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to be here.
It's great to have you. We're all in holiday spirit here. Most of us love receiving something homemade, especially when it's edible, of course. How did you get into this topic, and have you seen that edible gifts are actually, that there's a resurgence of homemade gifts?
Well, there's absolutely a resurgence. I think in general, people interested in making things themselves, either for health concerns or just to put their own spin on something. And I got into it because I had worked as a pastry chef and worked in a restaurant, and you know, once I was home with a young child, and I kind of needed a little bit of an outlet, and I had all this pent up desire to make things for my friends. So I figured, you know, then I decided to write the book about it because I had just been doing that for so long. But they say it's better to give than to receive, but I think, and I agree with that, but it's also good to, as well, in the case of food gifts, it's great to receive them because people are busy and you don't always get that many homemade gifts or homemade foods.
And you know, Sally, I was recently working at a job, and one of the young women who worked there, every day she'd bring in a little something different. And like in the middle of a shift, I'd be out there working, and she would hand me this glass of lemon ginger cayenne or something that she made homemade the night before. And then I noticed a friend of hers did the same thing. And during that whole trip, these little gifts would just come and brighten my day. And they really were such a difference maker in just the every day-to-day activity.
Yeah, it's great. It's just, always, you get kind of bored with your own cooking, too. You know, I do anyway. And it's really fun to have someone else give you something that you may not have tried or, you know, you're not that familiar with, but it's really good. And then it sort of inspires you to make it or to make a variation of it or just to enjoy it if you don't like to cook.
Yeah, I think that might be one of the things that people shy away from making. One of the reasons they shy away from making homemade gifts is because they don't know that it's going to be good, or they make it all the time and they're bored with it. Or I think there are some barriers, and what people maybe sometimes bury as the real reason why we do this is the human element of gift giving, right? It's such a sweet sentiment to say, I took the time and I took the thought to create something just for you. And
actually, yeah, there are some cultures, Sita, to add to that you would never go to a meeting or to some kind of gathering without bringing something that you made or created or harvested or picked from the garden or whatever, be it some apples or artichokes, or it doesn't have to be for the holidays only. There are cultures where that is the standard norm, and we don't do that. And I've seen meetings where somebody brought, you know, some cheese and some crackers, and they didn't make the cheese, but at least that so food in itself, and then the gift of giving, of bringing something that you thought of, is just a wonderful piece of our interactions.
It is, yeah. Yeah, so Sally, I'm curious, you know, talking about some of the reasons why people are hesitant or maybe not feeling quite so confident enough to make their own gifts, can you give us what you recommend are the things you need to know before you start making an edible gift, or how do you choose the right gift to give at the holidays?
Well, there are different parts to it. I mean, one is, what are your limitations as a cook, or how confident are you? And there are lots of choices if you're not so confident. Things like mixes or things that you don't actually have to cook, you know, that you put together.
Like, you said mixes. Can you give us a little more?
Pancake mix, cornbread mix, muffin mixes.
You can really make those yourself, and they'll hold up as a gift?
Yeah, they hold up forever. I mean, it's just like instead of buying a box from the store, and this is good for people who have dietary restrictions like gluten-free, and if you have a gluten-free kitchen, you can make those kinds of mixes for people, and you can put your own stamp on them. Basically, what you do is take your favorite recipe and, you know, excluding the liquid ingredients, you just put them together and then mix them up and put them in a, you know, nice jar or I used to use coffee bags, but now you can buy beautiful bags in different stores like the Container Store or other places where you can just fill them with the mix, and then you have a little attach something that gives directions on how to make it. And so just about any waffle mix, cornbread, cookies, even like you could layer the ingredients in the jar, and then you
oh, how beautiful.
You know, put like with chocolate chip cookies, you could put the walnuts and the chocolate in the bottom, and then you put the mixed, all the flour and baking powder and those ingredients, and then on the top you might put the sugar. And then, you know, the instructions would be to people buy their own butter, and then they add the sugar, and then they add
add
their own eggs.
Sure.
But, you know, that's sort of like very fast, convenient, fun thing for people who want to do cookies but don't have time or whatever. So basically you're just kind of stripping out the perishable parts of the recipe. And it's pretty easy to figure that out.
And, you know, Sally, a couple of years ago, we, at our house, we have a chocolate chip cookie recipe that everybody loves. And so we made chocolate chip.
When will we know about that?
Well, because, well,
sorry, Mark, go on.
So we made chocolate chip cookie dough logs and then froze them.
Oh,
and then
really?
That's what we gave to everybody for Christmas. And then they could just slice off whatever they wanted
and bake it
themselves. Yeah.
Oh, these are both such great suggestions. And Sally, as you're talking about putting together these mixes, I actually recall seeing those kinds of things packaged beautifully at the store. And it's never occurred to me that I could put it together myself. And I mean, I am a chef by training. It doesn't mean I don't happen to have those lack of confidence days too. But for somebody who doesn't feel all that handy in the kitchen, but is a rather creative person who loves food, to put together a mix like this, it doesn't actually require any cooking or culinary skills, really.
Right. It's just measuring.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things like...
Which can be a challenge.
Just
measure five times and then...
we're talking with Sally Paisley Vargas. Your website, Sally, is sallypaisleyvargas.com, the author of Food for Friends in this week's Holiday Gifts from the Kitchen, Love You Can Taste. And we dove right into the first idea. And Sally, we asked you before the show, of course, to come up with your hot five, the best gifts that you created. We will hear about those right after the break. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Sally, stay with us. We'll be right back with you with more. Stay tuned.
Are you a chef, have a catering business, or planning a party, or simply just love organic produce? If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, walk right in to Earl's Organic Produce. Anyone can buy directly from us at wholesale prices. You don't have to be a natural food store to enjoy the freshest and most delicious organic produce. We are located on the San Francisco Produce Market at 2101 Gerald Avenue. We look forward to seeing you.
Walk-in hours are Monday through Friday throughout the night from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Minimum purchase is one boxer flat, cash or checks only. For more information, visit earlsorganic.com.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites, available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
At Testa Epicure Skilled, we provide tea and coffee from the regions of the world known to produce the finest of their kind. Always certified organic and fair trade, we stand for exceptional taste and highest quality. Every cup of our tea and coffee is connected to the soil and the people working the land. We have searched the world for the best ingredients and invite you to enjoy Desta tea and coffee. Find Desta at your natural food store or online at Desta.com. That is D-E-S-T-A.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is holiday gifts from the kitchen. Love you can taste. And our guest is author Sally Paisley Vargas. That's sallypaisleyvargas.com, who wrote Food for Friends and is also a contributing editor to the Boston Globe. Sally, Before the break, you shared with us that maybe one of the most simple gifts you can think of, for example, would be a pancake mix, because it doesn't require any cooking. You could literally just measure what your favorite recipe is, put it in a nice container, and we will talk about packaging a little bit later, because you have some really great creative ideas there as well. From there, moving on, the pancake mix, as if somebody really doesn't want to cook or doesn't have a kitchen available, putting an interesting blend together for, maybe somebody health conscious with whole grains, whatever that fit might be, and we'll talk about that as well. What are your other four in the top five of gifts that you have made that were just rousing successes?
Well, I'll just run them through them. That one is of chocolate bark, which is pretty easy, and I also like to make jam, and there's sort of a range of jam and ways, and if we have time, maybe I could go over the water bath thing, which is pretty easy, and I think that's something people are nervous about, but it's not so hard. Another thing is cookies, like you said, there are lots of ways that you can do the cookies, and I have some strategies for that. And then I was just like some other kind of mixes that don't require too much don't require too much work or time, and that would be something, or savory dishes and savory dishes as well.
Well, let's backtrack to when you said chocolate bark.
Yeah.
That really piqued my interest.
Okay.
Chocolate bark.
So can you explain for our listeners what exactly is chocolate bark? How do you put it together? And then how can you get creative and come up with varieties that are really your own spin?
Okay. Well, so it's pretty basic. I mean, it's basically melted chocolate with some sort of nuts or fruit and nuts. I like to use dried fruit and nuts or seeds, and you can use white chocolate or dark chocolate. And you melt the chocolate and you spread it on a parchment-lined cookie sheet and you let it harden. But there's a little bit of trick there which shouldn't scare people, but it's one of the things about chocolate is once you melt it, it becomes untempered. Tempered chocolate you think about milk as like homogenized milk versus not homogenized milk, where the cream rises to the top. So most chocolate you buy is like homogenized milk, and it's shiny and, looks very pretty and it's delicious. But once you melt it, the cocoa butter rises to the top, and then when it hardens again, it looks a little dull and sometimes a little streaky. So what you have to do is temper it, but this is not that hard if you want to use a microwave. So say, for instance, you're going to make chocolate bark. You need about a pound of chocolate, and you need about a cup and a half of mixed dried fruit and nuts, I think, like pistachios and dried cherries or walnuts and apricots or any kinds of things you want, pumpkin seeds. You can kind of make a mix of the nuts that you want and nuts and fruit that you want. Then you take the pound of chocolate and you cut it. You finely chop it. And I find if you have a big block of chocolate and you use a serrated knife, you're going to have a lot. It's going to take a lot less time and be a lot less frustrating because you want it to be in small pieces so that it will melt evenly. Then you take about 3/4 of that and melt it in the microwave or on top of the stove in a, you know,
a double boiler.
A double boiler kind of thing where you can just put a stainless steel bowl on top of a pot. And you, if you're using the microwave, you just microwave it at 50% power for 30 seconds and keep doing that like several times until it takes 3 or 4 minutes until it's melted. And then you have reserved a quarter of it, of course. Like I think I said that. I hope I said that. So you put in the other cold chocolate, the little chocolate, chopped chocolate, back into the melted chocolate and stir that until it's 90 degrees. And that's basically tempered. And then you can stir in about half the nuts and fruit and spread it on a baking sheet, and then you sprinkle the remaining nuts and fruit on top. And when it hardens, you can just break it up into bark. It's delicious.
Pistachios and cherries, that sounds like such a delicious combination and really gourmet. You know, it's not just, I mean, I think almonds and smoked sea salt and dark chocolate is delicious, but it's also just a little bit predictable. If you want to do something more creative, wow, dried cherries.
I thought chocolate bark was this kind of brittle, super thin layer over layer over layer of chocolate. No, what is called that?
Are you thinking of peanut brittle, the candied one?
No. It's just all fluffy. It's just layers of super fine chocolate layers that have lots of air in them. And
I don't know. Maybe that's a European dessert.
Yeah. Okay. I'll find out.
I thought chocolate bark was when timber got into your stash.
Bark. Yeah.
Like the sea salt. I love chocolate and a little bit of sea salt. And that's another thing. You could just sprinkle some of that, a very little bit of that, on the top when you put the nuts, or you can use slightly salted nuts, and you can toast the nuts too. That adds another dimension.
So we have the pancake mix, we have the chocolate
bark.
There's
chocolate
some bark. Chocolate bark. You mentioned jams and cookies as well.
And we did do a show on jam, actually, an entire show. That was in October. It was last month. Yeah, so that's
jam making.
Yeah, exactly. Another really great gift.
Marmalades and jam.
Well, yeah, I think people, jam is a little intimidating, and I have what I call my beginner's blueberry raspberry jam, which a friend of mine, my neighbor who doesn't really like to cook, gave me her mother's recipe, and it's using frozen berries, which, you know, maybe you'd hesitate to do that, but this time of year, their berries, when they're frozen, flash frozen, they're actually, they retain a lot of the original, a lot of flavor and a lot of nutritional value. And when you're cooking them, and of course you're adding a ton of sugar, so just cook with, and I use pectin, which is something I don't usually use, but I find that for people who've never made jam, it's sort of another, you know, layer of predictability that will make it work out. So you just basically, it's the two berries, blueberries and raspberries, sugar, and I don't know, did you want amounts or?
I think we will put some of the recipes from your blog actually on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/anorganicconversation.
Okay.
Because if people right now are not in a position to write anything down,
right,
that might be too detailed.
Yeah.
And we just had a wonderful show on jam making. And we'll hear from you in a minute of how you look at the people you want to gift what to consider there, Ben. But we will not skip the chocolate cookies. we will break real quick for an update from the world of produce. With us still is Sally Paisley Vargas. That's sallypaisleyvargas.com, the author of Food for Friends, who's joining us from New Jersey today on our show, Holiday Gifts from the Kitchen, Love You Can Taste. Sally, we have a weekly update from the world of produce here on the show every week, what's in season. So stay with us and we'll be right back with you. And now here's our very own Mark Mulcahy, produce expert Mark Mulcahy, with what's in season, Mark.
And today we're talking about Oware. Oh, Earl, you know what I'm talking about.
Oware, Satsuma.
Yes, we've got Earl. We have Earl
so
Herrick.
I know. That one just went right over my head.
We've got Earl Herrick from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco, the voice of the San Francisco produce market, calling in to talk about Satsuma mandarins.
Hey, Earl.
Yeah. Hey, how y'all doing?
We're great. It's happy holiday. Holiday week. Yes.
Yeah.
And I know we're talking about something that you, my friend, simply cannot get enough of.
Well, it's really true. It's a dangerous thing, really. as Mark introduced it, the Oware, that is a variety of a Satsuma mandarin, and it is the most popular and abundant variety you're going to see, and you're not really going to be able to tell any variety from another, and most produce departments don't advertise what kind of varieties. They'll just say Satsuma mandarins.
But what's this one called? Can you say it one more time?
Oware.
Oware.
Yeah. That's
oh, hence the song. Got it. I just caught up. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you, Earl.
That's a Oware.
Oware.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Satsuma is really the first.
We all have the song stuck in our head now. I apologize.
Unbelievable. So.
Is that a Dean Martin or what?
It sounds like it.
I expect all produce people to be singing that song.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Dean Martin, Volare. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Well, that Satsuma variety. Yes.
You can't keep me away from this. And one of the reasons I love it so much is that it's the first good piece of citrus of the season.
Absolutely.
You know, you're going to see navels in the market sooner, but that's more of a marketing thing. You know, the Satsuma is the first satisfying, edible citrus that you're going to be eating. And the fruit has a rich orange, thin skin that's obviously easy to peel. It separates easily from the fruit. It sometimes has a slight neck. Some of them do. They're seedless with a beautiful orange segments that are tender and melting to eat with rich flavor. But it's subacid and it's kind of tangy with zest. And they have a good one has incredible amounts of sugar. And, of course, it has that wonderful synephrine, which is nature's perfect antihistamine. So here we are, Mother Nature once again steps in with the perfect fruit you need in that time of the year. With seasons changing, we somehow become more susceptible and vulnerable. And bingo, you eat some Satsumas and you're an iron person.
Well, an iron person.
And you know what? That's great, Earl. So what kind of season are we looking at? What kind of
crop? Are they grown here domestically, Earl?
Yeah, they originated in Japan or China. They went across to Europe. Actually, Tangiers, that's, tangerine, that's part of where the export was. It's been over here for, a couple centuries, I think. California produces 95%. They're grown in the beautiful San Joaquin Valley. And some of the interesting thing is the Satsuma mandarin is the most cold tolerant of any citrus fruit. And they also have a requirement of warm weather that's needed to really develop a satisfactory fruit. So as a consequence, it's adapted to winters that are too cold for lots of other citrus fruits, and it also needs growing season warm enough to produce early maturity. So
cool.
San Joaquin Valley, my experience is the ones north of Sacramento are the best. Some people say that the climate, it's a little colder up there. Some people look at the soil. It's the lower valley is too sandy, and the northern is a little more clay, They produce great. So,
wow, that's so geeky.
I love it. I love
north
it.
Of Sacramento. But is it a good year?
Oh yes. Well, yeah. This year. So last year was the best citrus, best Satsuma season I ever saw in 25 years. This one is shaping up. The fruit early is very dynamic, very sweet. We've, as you've noticed in California, we've gotten some rains, but if you wait a day or two after rain, it's going to be fine. So we're seeing good supply, which equals good pricing, and I would say that's cool. One of the things you want to make sure you have in your table all the time.
Well, that's great.
And especially when you come over.
Well, you know, you can generally count on me bringing some with me.
Oh, good. Yeah, wonderful.
And he eats the first bag on the way and then brings one into everybody else.
Thank you. Two at all time.
Thank you, Earl. Wonderful. Great to have you.
I cannot overstate how wonderful this piece of fruit is.
Okay, Satsuma, that's where it's at. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Earl.
Thanks a lot,
Earl. You're welcome.
And just...
I love his enthusiasm.
Yeah, me too.
It's so sup-acid.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah,
that's a great term too.
Yeah.
How do you pick a mark?
Well, you go to the tree. No, actually, when you go to the store, you want to make sure that you have a nice bright orange Satsuma that fills its skin. Sometimes Satsumas are known as a zipper skin because they're so easy to peel, right? But you still want it to fill its skin and be heavy for its size. It's going to have the most juice if it's heavy for its size. And then when you get them home, you can keep them on the counter for about 4 or 5 days. You can keep them in the fridge, but that does tend to help the fruit dry out inside. So it's better just to put them on your counter and eat them as soon as possible and then buy more and buy more and buy more and buy more and buy more.
Heavy for its weight.
Heavy for its size.
I love that.
Heavy for its size. That's right. And so, yeah, you know, there's 70 different varieties, but the Owari is the one that you're looking for out there.
Owari.
Yeah,
great.
That's right.
And that's what's in season this week. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Earl.
And thanks, Earl. Yeah.
Yes. Our topic today is holiday gifts from the kitchen, love you can taste. In this show, from savory to sweet, from easy to more elaborate, we want to turn you on to the world of homemade food gifts. And with us is the person who can do that best, Sally Paisley Vargas. That's sallypaisleyvargas.com. Check out her blog. And she's also the author of Food for Friends. Sally's joining us today from New Jersey. Sally, are you there?
Yes.
Great.
Hi.
So you walked us through the pancake mix, the bark, chocolate bark, just the beauty and joy of making mixes, of using ingredients, of finding blends that you like best so that you know, your world translates into a gift for somebody else. We do want to touch on cookies, but before the show, we talked about the consideration you give when you look at your list of friends and who shall receive what. So why don't we talk about your tried and true cookie recipe and then your formula for how to pick the perfect food gift for the group you want to gift to.
Okay. Well, the cookies are, you know, actually so common. People love to give cookies, and people love to receive cookies. And again, it's like someone else's cookie that you have, you know, you're bored with your own cookies or whatever, and you want to taste other people's cookies. And I find, like, the two kinds of cookies I like to make and give are icebox cookies, because, like what you were talking about, your chocolate chip cookies in a roll, you can make those ahead of time and then slice and bake. And the other ones are bars. And, you know, bars are really easy, and they're easy to package. And I like to make some, like, these maple nut bars is one of my favorites. It has a sort of shortbread layer on the bottom, and then it has nuts and other stuff on top to make it stick together. And then you just let them cool, and you cut them, and they fit nicely in a bag, and you're done. But one of the things I like to do also with cookies that I've done a few times with friends is you have sort of a little cookie party where you have a couple of your friends over, and they might bring cookie dough with them, and then you bake it all together, and then you package it together.
What a great idea.
That's
yes.
Kind of a fun, like, afternoon. But if you're not going to do that, then I usually divide it, especially if it's
I divide it into three. Like, I make the dough, if I'm doing it at night, I might make the dough one day. The next day, I might bake everything, and then the following day, I would package everything. So it spreads it out. It doesn't make you tired and cranky because you're, like, overcommitted. And so there's strategies about, making these things and
And you
yourself.
Bring up actually a great point, Sally. When I look, and I'm not a big shopper, and I try to buy a gift for my closest friends, but I can't spend a week downtown, or I don't want to. In the bustle of the holidays, it's really fun for one afternoon, and then between parking lots and traffic and the money spent and return policies, and it's not my thing. And you're actually touching on a really important thing. If you break it up and if you start now, if you start early, you can very stress-free create amazingly personal gifts in a fraction of the time that you would spend downtown trying to find something that matches, while having an experience that is not pleasant in most cases or often, and spending much more money than you would. So it's, you save time, you save money. And actually, Mark, didn't you tell us during the break that the very task of creating something with your hand is actually has shown to be beneficial for the person making it?
Yeah, I was just reading an article today, as a matter of fact, about that scientists have found that people who craft, people who cook, people who garden, it actually makes you healthier to do these things, because it's good for lowering your blood pressure. It's great. It's great for your brain. There's so many aspects.
Good for your heart.
And it's great for your heart. Beyond the whole giving part of it, just the act of being present with it and doing that particular craft can make a huge difference in your health.
And we all know that feeling when you have created something that you will give to somebody, the joy of knowing this is you, this really came from you, the satisfaction you get when you put that final little, name on the label or whatever. Very sweet. With us is Sally Paisley Vargas, the author of Food for Friends and really an expert in edible gifts this time of year, but really throughout the year. And Sally, how do you choose the right recipient? You said in a pre-interview, don't give chocolate to somebody who has a weight challenge. When you go through your list of friends, what are some of the criteria that you look at to be inspired?
Well, I think, one of the things is just start planning early, and that includes, what are you going to make and who are you going to give it to? And you start with who you're going to give it to, and if you can find a common denominator, then that makes your job a lot easier, because then you're not overwhelming yourself with too many ideas. You want to kind of narrow it down. So I would look at the sweet side, and then if there are people on your list who that wouldn't be good for, then maybe you could look on the savory side and do something, something like, like seasoned olives or a tapenade spread or something or homemade mustard, mm-hmm. all those kinds of things that are pretty quick to make, and that they could be given to everyone on your list, or you could make some and give some of those to one person, and if you really are into baking and want to do something sweet, then you have your people that you're doing that for. But, I think you really do have to look. Part of it is, it's the thought that counts, but you really do have to put some thought into it, and hopefully the product is also as good as the thought. But
yeah, and you were saying that the pancake mix, of course, ideal gift for people with kids, for a family. Right, because they will go through pancake mixes throughout the year anyway.
Yeah, I mean, breakfast foods are really a great thing because they're pretty
universal.
Universal, and they're good for families. They're good for college kids who that you can send them some granola and maybe some jam, or just the granola is very easy too, and that's very appreciated. Or single people, they want to have something special on before they go to work in the morning. They don't have kids to feed, but it's just sort of a way of celebrating, the morning. It's a nice thing to do,
Fun.
Things like Nutella, too, homemade Nutella. That's another breakfast food, or hot chocolate. I mean, there's
home-made
lots and lots of breakfast
Nutella.
Foods. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. We want to talk about homemade Nutella when we come back.
I don't have a recipe off the top of my head.
Okay.
But.
We do want to hear your ideas and thoughts around packaging, though, because it was wonderful to speak with you before the show, and that it's, yes, it's considering who you're gifting, it's how you make it and what you make, and then how do you actually give it? What's the packaging? With us is Sally Paisley Vargas, sallypaisleyvargas.com, the author of Food for Friends, and really an expert in the world of homemade gifts from the kitchen, edible gifts this time of the year and really year round. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Like a stone, but please let that decision be your own.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at bowmancollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N college.org.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is holiday gifts from the kitchen. Love you can taste. This is the time if you want to start gifting edible gifts to your friends or family this holiday season. Today with this episode, we're kicking off the countdown. This would be the right time to start planning and to help you in the planning phase, to consider who you're gifting, what you can make, even if you're not a cook or have access to a kitchen, simply by the right mixing of ingredients. We have a world of opportunity and possibility for you. And with us is Sally Paisley Vargas, the author of Food for Friends, who is joining us today from New Jersey. Before we go back into that interview and hear Sally's wisdom on the right packaging for the right product for the right person, here's our very own chef Sita, Sita Rani Palomar, with her holistic bite.
Thank you, Helga. Well, we are now just days past Thanksgiving, which is, I think, the holiday of feasting. And that means that right now we're in that cushion period between the next holidays of feasting, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's Day. So right now there is kind of a trend of overindulgence, right? Maybe a little bit too much overconsumption of food, a little overconsumption of alcohol, possibly. It's so important that you balance that with alkalizing foods. Alkalizing, I mean, there is in the macrobiotic tradition a very in-depth look at what acid and alkaline means, but let me just give you the brief rundown. Our bodies have a specific pH, and we need to maintain that pH in order to be healthy. There are foods and activities that make us more acid in our system and more alkaline in our system. Things that make us more acid are things like sugary foods, refined flours, and even wheat to a certain extent, overconsumption of wheat. Wheat is an acidic food. Alcohol, coffee, soda, meat, these kinds of things create more acid in our system. They throw off our pH balance. And then activities like overeating and eating foods that you might have an allergy or a sensitivity to, which sometimes we kind of look the other way during the holidays, those create a more acidic system. And so does stress. And I know that the holidays and visiting family sometimes for people creates a little bit more stress in your life than you're used to having when you're alone. So balance this with alkaline choices. And things that are very alkaline are coconut water and umeboshi plums and sea vegetables. And these are just three of a multitude of alkaline foods, but I want to give you a couple ways you can use them to get yourself back on track on the days or even the meals when you're not indulging during this holiday season. So coconut water, it actually in property is almost identical to the plasma in our blood. So even in tropical countries, in times of war and crisis, they use it as transfusion. And people have found that it's like a hangover cure. It's so great to just rebalance the body. So you can drink coconut water as a beverage. You can use it to make smoothies with fresh fruit, and that will be very alkalizing for you. Umeboshi plums are pickled Japanese plums that you can get at your health food store that are very, very tart and also salty, but they're a great cure for stomach aches and headaches. And you can dice half of a plum and put it in your dinner. You can suck on the pit of the plum, or you can simmer the umeboshi plum in a little bit of water with some grated daikon radish and make this tea that is very tonifying. And then eating more sea vegetables, which are really rich mineral sources. And when we are more acidic, we actually pull the minerals from our body to rebalance. Sea vegetables will help rebalance the minerals and make your body more alkaline. So having miso soup for lunch with tofu and miso and sea vegetables is a really great option. And of course, amping up your vegetables and your fruits. And one of my favorite alkalizing vegetables is sweet potatoes. And we talked about sweet potatoes and what's in season a couple weeks ago. So get out there on your days off from eating like it's your job and alkalize with some of these foods. And that's your holistic bite.
Wow. Thank you, Sita. That's Chef Sita. And as always, the Holistic Bite is brought to you by the natural beauty company Eco Bella. Here at Inorganic Conversation, it's all about possibility, interconnectedness, and beauty. And when it comes to clean, natural, and organic skincare and intelligent cosmetics, it's really difficult to find products that are truly made without compromises and are still affordable. EcoBella.com. And actually, Eco Bella has a mist on toner. Isn't that good for you?
They do for pH balance. Well, it's interesting, actually, because I'm talking about pH balance in the body in my holistic bite. But our skin actually wants to be slightly acidic. That's how we prevent infection on the topical level. And when we wash our skin, we make it more alkaline because we're getting rid of whatever those acidic compounds are in our body that help prevent infection. Something like the apple cider vinegar that's in their mist on toner puts the acidic balance back in your favor. So using that product to help balance your pH is a pretty smart one.
Again, that's EccoBella.com, EccoBella.com. Check out their products. And yes, we love the mist on toner. Wonderful. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And with us still, calling in from New Jersey, is Sally Paisley Vargas. SallyPaisleyVargas.com, the author of Food for Friends and really the authority on gifts from the kitchen. Our topic today, holiday gifts from the kitchen, love you can taste.
And Sally, earlier we kind of touched on packaging, but I really think packaging is almost as important as the gift that you give. Because it's the first thing you see, right, before you taste anything. And can you give us a few tips on packaging?
Oh, sure. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, your packaging has to be as delicious looking as what's inside, or you're kind of losing, you know, the whole thing.
Idea, yeah.
because I've gotten gifts and they're not bad, but you know, you don't really, if the outside part is not going to appeal to you, you might sort of wonder what's inside. So one way I approach it is as I'm shopping during the holidays is sort of looking around at shops and seeing how some of the gift items that they're selling for a lot of money, where you can make them at home for a lot less, but they're look at their packaging and get some ideas that way. And my secret weapon, really, for me, is cellophane bags. I love clear cellophane bags. You can put you know, cookies in them. You can put jars of jam in them. And then you sort of tie them at the top with some wire. I use this wire. It's a kind of metallic ribbon wire that has gold or silver, and sometimes it has little stars coming off. And I use that as a twist tie. And then I use, like, a big, wide, pretty ribbon. And it, the whole thing looks very glamorous. And, you know, it doesn't look like that you just sort of threw it together. It really has some panache.
And do you know, Sally, if there's an kind of an environmentally friendly version of cellophane out there, like something that decomposes or so?
Well, you know, you can use pretty, actually, you know, tissue paper, you can have the same effect with tissue paper, and just pick tissue papers. There are a lot of beautiful tissue papers out there that can...
Like thicker and embroidered or something.
Yeah, and just
beautiful
colors or patterns that you could do. And the other thing is, if you don't, you know, if you don't want to go that route, the cellophane bag route, there's, you know, you sort of pick your style ahead of time. If you want something a little more earthy, you know...
Sure.
Crunchy, then think about, you know, brown paper or even newspaper, newsprint or the comic section. I don't know if they still have those. I don't really.
They do. They still do. I still use them.
Some papers. And tie things together with raffia or jute string or, you know, that whole feeling of the colors, that palette of colors is, you know, brown and sort of greenish and can be very beautiful. And then maybe you have some kind of a little bangle to put on there that goes with that theme. You know, you might buy. I was just looking at a couple of different retail stores, like the Paper Source and the Container Store. They all have lots of gift ideas, lots of gift wrapping ideas, and packaging, where you don't have to invent the wheel. You can just buy actually nice looking bags that have a design on them or
a tin can for cookies there's so many ideas. Sally, we're almost out of time, but we of course want to ask the final question.
And so what are you going to make and give away to friends and family this year?
Okay, well, I've already made some things. I made a fig preserves with fresh and dried figs and grapes and oranges and I use those and put those in jars, and I'm going to give those maybe with cheese. So I want something that's a little bit like a hostess gift, because I think those are fun things to have on hand.
Sure.
And the other thing I'm making is going to be with olive oil. I haven't decided yet. Some Greek olive oil cookies that are really delicious with honey.
Oh, that sounds so good.
And whole wheat flour, and they're not particularly sweet.
And if we want to find those recipes, they are on your site, right, Sally Paisley?
I haven't put them on my site. I will be putting them on my site. And then torta de asiete, which are tortas de asiete, which are Spanish. They're like a pastry, but they're not very sweet, and they go with cheese, or they go with wine, or they're almost like a cookie. And those are very good, too, so I'm probably going to make some of those things.
And you can follow all that on Sally's website, that's sallypaisleyvargas.com, for more inspiration and more tips, especially now during the holidays. Sally, thank you so much for joining us today and for giving us your wisdom. Wonderful to have you, and happy, happy holidays to you and yours.
You're quite welcome, and thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Thank you. Okay. Pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, Sally.
Bye-bye.
So creative.
And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer Kristen Ponger, studio engineer Robert Costa, news services Jen Lloyd, underwriting production Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
And again, you can follow us on facebook.com/anorganicconversation, and we will post anything that Sally is recommending on our Facebook page as well, or check out her site, sallyparsleyvargas.com. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
And we will be back right here, same place, same time, with more next week. See you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.